Joan Lewis, our regular Vatican watcher, is here once again with details of what's been happening behind the scenes at the Vatican over the past 7 days. But first, Joan's going to tell us something about a personal pilgrimage that she made this week to the German city of Trier to venerate a precious relic which has been kept there for centuries.
I went to visit the Holy Robe. That's the seamless garment worn by Jesus before his crucifixion. And if you recall in the Gospel, because it was seamless, all of one piece, it was not a piece of clothing that the guards were going to fight over and split up, but rather take as a whole. And the story of how it got to Trier is absolutely fascinating. First of all, Trier is a wonderful city. It's very, very doable. A huge portion of the center part of the city is all closed to traffic. It's pedestrian, I mean stores, restaurants, the cathedral, the adjacent church of Our Lady, the cathedral where the robe is. In any event, Trier, actually, right after Rome, was considered the second most important city, regional capital, whatever you want to call it, in the Roman Empire. And, oh my gosh, the Roman ruins there are phenomenal. The Porta Nigra, the Black Gate, it's like one of the most perfectly standing from like 2,000 years ago. It's a great big gate that was actually a home, and then at one point a church. There's rooms. It's not just a single wall, and you walk through an arch, and you're on the other side. Now, the robe is, it's a brown garment, and they have it, I can say like a hanger, you can't really see it, but they have the arms spread out of the robe and then the full length. Someone asked me how long it was, and I have absolutely no idea. Unless Jesus was actually very short, I don't think it exactly went like to his, you know, to the ground. Anyway, the robe is kept in the cathedral. It was brought, did I say, to Emperor Constantine by his mother, St. Helena. And he was in Trier at the time. There's a beautiful basilica he built that's just totally amazing. And so Helena went to visit her son, brought this garment, and it has stayed there ever since. It's in the cathedral all the way back, like the equivalent of the altar of the chair in St. Peter's. And it's in a niche in the wall, but you can't see it as a garment.
But it's brought out on display.
But it is brought out, exactly. It's out for a month, April 13 to May 13. And this is the fourth time in 100 years. And this year commemorates the 500th anniversary of the first time it was shown publicly in 1512. It's an oval-shaped glass container that's just slightly raised at one end, and the garment is in there, obviously covered with glass. Anyway,
so very, very.
It was a pilgrimage.
Significant experience.
Yeah. It was wonderful. If you can hear my voice and get to Trier in the next few weeks, I highly recommend doing so. You'll just enjoy the city. It's absolutely wonderful. So that was my highlight. I wonder if the Pope has ever seen it.
Who knows?
I'll have to ask him next time I see him.
Coming back here to Rome, the Pope has also been quite busy this week. We had the regular Regina Caeli, in which he gave a very beautiful reflection, didn't he, on First Communions,
yes,
of which, of course, so many take place during this time of year.
And I accidentally saw a huge First Communion at Mass on Sunday in St. Matthias Church in Trier. By the way, folks, if I can just add, St. Matthias, the Apostle Matthias, is buried there. He's the only apostle to be buried north of the Alps, and so in the church of the same name. But the Holy Father noted that in the Easter period, he said this is, of course, when there are many, many, when the church usually administers First Communion. And he invited priests and pastors and catechists, and even obviously the young people themselves, he said, prepare this feast of faith well. Prepare it with fervor, but also with sobriety, so that this day will remain impressed on your memory as the first moment when you realize the importance of the personal encounter with Jesus. So, typically lovely words of the Holy Father. He can be so profound and yet say something profound in wonderfully understandable terms.
Those were his words on Sunday. Over the weekend, he also met with an important organization that had come over from the U.S., the Papal Foundation. Tell us a bit more about that meeting.
That was a meeting that they have once a year, usually sometime in April. And members of it's U.S.-based, it's based in Philadelphia, founded in, I think it was 1988. They gave the Pope $8.5 million. And over the, I've forgotten how many years it is now, 15 or so years, from 1991, something
founded
like that, maybe
Cardinal
20.
Cole, I believe.
Yes. And they have given like $78 million to the Pope to be used for charity. So these grants will be building schools in Egypt, a healthcare facility and maternity clinic in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, a soup kitchen in the Ukraine, a church in Angola, and on in various parts of the world. So money to help the Holy Father chooses the destination of this money and chooses the charities. So obviously a significant meeting for them and for him.
Also a significant meeting going on in the Vatican this week for the church in China. This, again, is a meeting that takes place each year, doesn't it?
It has since 2007. The Pope wrote a letter to all the faithful of the Catholic Church in China. And a result of that letter was two things. He asked that May 24th every year, the entire church, everyone in the world, pray for Catholics in China. We know that there's problems there, obviously, with the government. The government allowed a church, if you will, the Patriotic Church, and then the underground church of Catholics loyal to Rome. And so that letter, in that letter, the Pope recognized all the problems, and he set up the May 24 day of prayer, and he also set up a commission that would meet once a year on China. And in the past, they've looked at the lives of the bishops and the religious, and this year they're looking at the formation of the lay faithful in light of the Year of Faith, which of course begins this coming October. So they're going to review progress made in the other fields, formation of priests, seminarians, and consecrated people, and then they will be coming out with something on the formation of lay people.
And certainly, as you say, May 24th will be another opportunity to really reflect on the needs of the Catholic Church there in China and the way in which churches around the world can support their brothers and sisters there. Let's look at the Wednesday general audience. Once again, Pope Benedict continuing his catechesis, as he has been doing for many weeks now, on Christian prayer.
And he said that this particular week, he said, in looking at prayer, we consider the decision of the early church to set aside seven men to provide for the practical needs of charity. And he said, it's significant that the apostles acknowledge the importance of both prayer and works of charity, yet clearly give priority to prayer and the proclamation of the gospel. So you've got to have both, but never neglect prayer just for charity. But we do have to take care of our brothers and sisters. And that is what he said was the focus of the gospel story that he was talking about. And the Pope also said that if prayer and the Word of God do not nourish our spiritual life, we run the risk of being suffocated by the many cares and concerns of daily existence. And I love this. Prayer makes us see reality with new eyes and helps us to find our way in the midst of adversity. And when I read that, I read it like a couple of times because it's like, okay, we see with new eyes. It's God opening our eyes to viewing something in a new light. And with frenetic lifestyles where we don't often allow ourselves time for prayer, you know, you have to cook, you have to go there, you have to pay bills, you have to clean your house or whatever, and we don't allow ourselves time for prayer. You can pray while you're, you know, doing a load of laundry, I'm sure, but it's not the same thing as just the quiet meditation without any distraction. And that's the kind of meditation I'm sure he means, that prayer which opens our eyes to the realities. We see realities with new eyes.
Just time to take a look at one more news item this week from the Secretary of State this time. Quite interesting, wasn't it? A follow-up of what we've seen over the past few months.
Very. If our listeners recall of various documents being leaked over a period of months regarding words were used like, you know, corruption and so forth. And there was, how did these documents get in the hands of the media is obviously the main question. And since the first documents came out about how things are in the governorate, that's the big general office that kind of runs everything in Vatican City State, other documents, private correspondence between and among cardinals and so forth have been, you know, leaked. And the Secretary of State issued the notice that said, in the wake of recent leaks of reserved and confidential documents on television, newspapers, and other communications media, The Holy Father has ordered the creation of a commission of cardinals to undertake an authoritative investigation and throw light on these episodes. And I found it very rewarding, if you will. The cardinals that he named are three cardinals who are retired. They're very respected within the church, in the Vatican, and around the world. And it's Cardinal Julian Herranz, who used to head the legislative texts office in the Vatican, Cardinal Joseph Tomko, who used to head the evangelization office, and Salvatore Di Giorgi, who was the Archbishop of Palermo. And they had their first meeting on April 24th. And it's very interesting because their authority extends that they can call on their fellow cardinals to say, all right, now what do you know? What do you hear? What do you see? What's happened in your office? So their authority comes from the Holy Father. And my understanding is there really are no boundaries to this pontifical mandate.
Thank you very much, Joan. We look forward to hearing from you again at the same time next week.
My further travels.
Bye-bye. Thanks there to our regular Vatican watcher, Joan Lewis, who will be back on the air at this same time with us next week.